Early this month, fall came to a close with an iron door, or fist, as 3 feet of snow, more or less, covered the ground in 3 days. It surprised some of us, for the heavy snow warnings were late in coming, and we are used to weather forecasters calling for more snow than actually falls. The local weather guy marveled, as they do when this happens, that, good grief, winter is still 3 weeks away. As if our weather and seasonal shifts somehow obey the calendar. The patchy snow on Brown transformed into a deep layer of uniform white, a mountainous, undulating cornice of snow perched on the lee side of the garage roof, and we are wondering when gravity will have its way, either with the overhanging cornice or the garage. Items left or forgotten on the ground will not be seen again for 5 months. This includes a cover on my chainsaw, which somehow, unknowingly, came off while I was cutting firewood the day before the storm. Unfortunately, I didn't notice this until I needed the saw to cut some snow-laden, low-hanging tree limbs over the driveway. I take some pride in living here, that with all the snow and gale-force winds, there was no panic, no wringing of hands, no national news stories of desperation, looting, and mayhem. Can you imagine 3 feet of snow falling along the East Coast? The National Guard would be called out. But here, people adjust, get out their snow blowers, their plows, and their snow shovels, and do what needs to be done, and with stoicism, cope. Friends and acquaintances check on each other, and neighbor helps neighbor. You quickly find out what shape your equipment, including your back, is in. You vow once again, sometimes in exasperation, that unlike this year, everything will be ready for next winter. When the storm finally cleared out, starlight reflected off the sparkling snow, this after nights of claustrophobic darkness. Then came days of squinting, brilliant sunshine and the search for misplaced sunglasses. The air turned biting cold, and a calm Lake Superior had water vapor steaming from its surface, a low gray cloud bank rolling off into the distance. I wonder how many minutes and hours over the course of winter we spend in bundling up and unbundling our cold weather gear. Those neglected piles of winter clothes, the parkas, the boots, the mittens and toques, now they come in handy as one set dries by the fire and you don another set. Our drying rack above the wood stove fireplace is a moose antler found years ago near the house when moose were a common sight. Each tine supports a mitten or hat, and twinkling solstice lights are intertwined along its length. Snowshoeing is pretty difficult, for all the snow came at once, and there wasn't time to set a trail before it was soon all on the ground. So it means sinking down over your knees and using a ski pole to thrash at tree branches bearing suspended bundles of snow. Good to have the hood up on your anorak for this, for nothing seems to chill like snow down your neck. Now, tracks can be seen and followed, and we know what animals are out and about, and which one the dog is so curious about. Snowshoe hares now blend in with the landscape, instead of standing out as they did on the brown ground when their color change preceded the landscape color change. In the deep snow, the dog follows behind us instead of charging ahead, and she sometimes returns to the house to watch squirrels by the bird feeder instead of following the foolish human floundering on clown-sized web feet through the quagmire of snow. Before the storm hit, the ice on the pond was like glass, perfect for skating, but I missed my opportunity. Again, I learned that lesson about procrastination. With all these feet of insulation and the sheer weight of this snow, I'm afraid the ice will turn into a wet mess. I'm reminded of a couple of winters ago when John fell through the ice on a beaver pond while we were snowshoeing behind his house. The deep snow caused the ice layer to deteriorate to the consistency of a muck slushy drink. There may be a lot of that this winter, but you deal with what you have, and that's what makes it all interesting or different, as we say. A few months ago, we celebrated the beginning of fall and the first night of a hard frost with a first frost party. It's a not-so-fond farewell to biting insects. Now the frost has transitioned to snow and the long nights of winter. It's after the solstice, and days are lengthening. For me, this is the beginning of the new year, not the calendar date, January 1st. It's not perceptible, but this thought of lengthening daylight helps to cope with the cold, the dark, and the difficulties of dealing with winter. As everything slows down, from getting out the door to getting down the road, I seem to crave more sleep, maybe a desire to hibernate, like other creatures buried under the snow. I love living where there are four distinct seasons. Just as you tire of one, the next one shuffles in, or, in this case, stumbles in to replace it. With this early deep snow, however, winter may linger longer and grow a little old before it's all over. But that's how it goes. Enjoy.